Thank you, Chris. Let's turn in our Bibles now to Daniel chapter 9. Now read verses 24 through 27. Long verses they are, though they were few verses. Let's hear God's holy word and listen with our hearts, with seek understanding. 70 weeks are determined for your people and for your holy city to finish the transgression, to make an end of sins, to make reconciliation for iniquity, to bring in everlasting righteousness, to seal up vision and prophecy, and to anoint the most holy. Know therefore and understand that from the going forth of the command to restore and build Jerusalem until Messiah the Prince, there shall be 7 weeks and 62 weeks, the street shall be built again, and the wall, even in troublous times. And after the 62 weeks, Messiah shall be cut off, but not for himself. And the people of the prince who is to come shall destroy the city and the sanctuary. The end of it shall be with a flood, to the end of the war. Desolations are determined. Then he shall confirm a covenant with many for 1 week. But in the middle of the week he shall bring an end to sacrifice and offering. And on the wing of abomination shall be one who makes desolate, even until the consummation which is determined is poured out on the desolate. Let's pray together. Lord, this is very deep and mysterious, this prophecy. And yet it addresses so much for our understanding of your purpose for the Jews and your purpose for spiritual Israel and the Messiah. Give us understanding this evening, we pray, about this, and may our hearts be uplifted by an understanding of indeed your sovereign care and purposes for our salvation. In Jesus' name we pray this. Amen. As we saw last time, Gabriel reveals to Daniel 6 divine blessings which God will accomplish for his people in 70 weeks. They are: finish the transgression, put an end to sin, atone for wickedness, bring in everlasting righteousness, seal up the vision, and anoint the most holy, holy person or and holy place, because Jesus is the person and he is the temple. These were all accomplished at the advent of our Lord Jesus Christ. But now the plan of God for Israel that leads up to that time when Christ will bring these divine blessings to pass is what Gabriel is going to explain to Daniel, and we'll study this evening. It's revealed in terms of the units of time, as we saw, to demonstrate that Jehovah is sovereign over all the course of human history. And what will God accomplish then in 70 weeks? The salvation of his people, in simple answer, as Daniel had been praying for so long. In this lesson now, we need to deal with the controversial question, how will God do it in 70 weeks, particularly that last week? These weeks are generally understood to be weeks of years, heptads, or units of seven. It refers to years, and the entire time of 70 times seven is 490 years. It's divided up like this. First 7 weeks, that's 49 years. Then 62 weeks, that's 483 years. And 1 week, that's 7 years. If you do it on your calculator, I think you'll find come up with the same answer. It begins with a point of decree to rebuild Jerusalem. That's the starting point. And the messenger of God then proceeded to divide up this period, which covers almost a half a millennium. Let's look first of all at the 69 weeks of preparation and then the 70th week of the fulfillment of the promise. First, the 69 weeks of preparation. The time from the command to go forth to restore and build Jerusalem to the coming of the Messiah is a total of 69 weeks. And it's divided up into 7 weeks and then add to that 62 weeks. That's the way the angel divides it up. The first 7 weeks, probably refers to the time when Jerusalem was being rebuilt and the temple. And that was beginning around 454 BC. And there's a completion of Israel's restoration of the land measured by the rebuilding of the temple. And when it was accomplished, that would have accomplished then the first 7 weeks. That was the time of Ezra, Nehemiah, and their struggles with the inhospitable residents of the abandoned land who caused troublesome times, as it says in verse 25. If we count from then 454 BC to the time of Christ as totaling 7 weeks of years plus 62 weeks of years, we equal 483 years, and it would bring us right about to AD 29. Right on target with the baptism of Jesus Christ and the anointing of the Most Holy. Now, whether these time measurements are exact or not, some people have really disputed, give or take a couple years. We're not even exactly sure when Christ was born. He wasn't born 1 AD. He was born more likely 4 AD. Some may give or take a year. But Dr. Edward J. Young, he writes this. This is very insightful. He says, the precise point of termination of the period of 77s is not revealed. The emphasis, rather, is not so much upon the beginning and termination of this period as it is upon the great results which the period has been set apart to accomplish. That's a good way of looking at it. Then we don't get all tangled up with exact years. And as for the 62 weeks that followed the rebuilding of Jerusalem and the temple, well, the angel doesn't have a lot to say, does he? Now, we know from Daniel 8 that it was probably during this period of time, this 62 weeks that followed the original 7 weeks, that was the time of the abomination of desolations that was committed by Antiochus Epiphanes, as foretold in Daniel 8. That was the little horn. He was the little horn with the big blasphemous mouth that sprang out of the broken horn that had been Alexander the Great, the broken horn on the goat. And that was the Macedonian empire under Alexander the Great, the goat was. But then as this horn was broken, that we assume that that meant Alexander died, and out of it sprang four other horns. That was the generals. And then came out a little horn that was especially blasphemous and spoke against the Most High. That's Antiochus Epiphanes. And that would have taken place during those next 62 weeks. But the angel doesn't say anything about it, and it's rather interesting that even though Daniel got the prophecy, the angel here says nothing about it. Why is that? Well, the answer is because there were no prophets during that period of time. The closest access we have to knowledge beside the prophecy of Daniel is the book of 1 Maccabees. That's a book I would recommend you reading. It's more accurate historically, the Jewish account. But it's apocryphal. It's not inspired. It wasn't a prophecy. So it's not mentioned by the angel. Silence all during that period was the people waiting. Waiting. And then suddenly the silence was broken with John the Baptist when he began to preach and when he baptized the anointed one, Jesus Christ. And here we cover then the whole period of 69 weeks. But if there wasn't a lot said about that second 62 weeks, there's a whole great deal said about the 70th week. The 70th week is the fulfillment of the promise. It's what this vision is all about. It's the 70th week that particularly has to do with those six blessings that I named at the beginning that were prophesied promised in verse 24. We discover it to be what Paul identifies as the fullness of the time. Yes, the 70th week is the fullness of the time. God sent forth his son, born by a woman, and born under the law, Galatians 4:4. During that week, that 70th week then, three things are going to happen that affect God's people, and they all have to do with the Messiah. The first thing that's going to happen during that 70th week is the Messiah will be cut off. That means he will be treated as a covenant breaker. God speaks of that in Genesis 17:14. He shall be cut off, for he has broken my covenant. Except that Isaiah adds to it that he was cut off from the land of the living. For the transgressions of my people he was stricken. And Isaiah adds more light, because the angel said that he will be cut off, but not for himself. And the reason why it's not for himself is because it will be not because his sins that he will be cut off from the covenant of God, but for the transgression of my people he was stricken. He was cut off not for himself, but because of us. His judgment will not be on account of anything that he has done, but on account of what we have done. And instead of cut off, another translation says, and will have nothing, signifying his total shame and loss. So total will be his rejection by man and God that he will have nothing. And that's the first thing that will happen during that 70th week. The Messiah will be cut off. Second thing that will happen is he will confirm the covenant with many. Verse 27. It's Jesus who confirmed it on the cross for the many. It was Jesus then who sealed it at the Last Supper. In Jeremiah 31, it was foretold, "Behold, the days are coming, says the Lord, when I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel, with the house of Judah. I will put my law in their minds and write it on their hearts, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. For I will forgive their iniquity, and their sin I will remember no more." That is the new covenant. And that is the covenant that Jesus confirmed by laying down his life for us. And what does the many refer to? It says he will confirm the covenant with many. Who is that? Well, Jesus said the Son of Man is come to give his life a ransom for many. Not all people, mind you. It's a limited atonement. Matthew 20:28. They include not only national Israel that believes, but that means all who keep his covenant by faith. That's the ones that he confirms the covenant for. He seals it. He ratifies it. And Paul says in Galatians 3:7-9, "Therefore know that only those who are of faith are sons of Abraham." He's referring to the covenant that God made with Abraham. He will make him a blessing to all nations, and from his seed all nations will be blessed. And so that covenant was made because Abraham believed, and it was accounted to him for righteousness. All those then who are of the faith are the many for whom Christ died. In other words, they are the many for whom Christ confirmed the covenant. To confirm the covenant means then what? That God has promised grace. He's promised to forgive us our iniquities. He's promised to reconcile himself to us. But promises, 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 it had to be completed. It was Jesus Christ who completed the promise and fulfilled it. He was the Lamb of God that was laid down for us to confirm the covenant. Then third, the third thing that will happen in the 70th week, he will put an end to sacrifice, verse 27. And that will happen in the middle of the 70th week. But to put an end to sacrifice means what? In Hebrews 10:8-9 and verse 18 too, says, "Sacrifice and offering, burnt offerings and offerings for sin, you did not desire, nor had pleasure in them, which are offered according to the law. Now, where there is remission of sin, there is no longer an offering for sin." Christ has ended all sacrifice. He has put an end to sacrifice. Now, instead of trusting in the blood of bulls and of lambs and of a high priest who offers them, we have one high priest who, on the merit of his own blood and his own death as the Lamb of God, has successfully interceded and intervened in our behalf, paying for all our sins. The end of all sacrifice. And this is what was demonstrated by the rending of the temple veil. Isn't that right? When he died, the temple veil was torn from the top to the bottom. And now there is no more a dividing wall of separation between us and God, between the Jews and the Gentiles. It's interesting how that Scofield has a different interpretation of this, and I won't elaborate on it. But he believes and teaches that this one who puts an end to sacrifice was really Antichrist. But I'll explain that in a little bit more in a minute. So as a result of what the Messiah did, Jerusalem and its temples then, and its temple, are going to be destroyed yet again. Since it was in the middle of the week that Messiah was cut off, it remains for the rest of the week to describe the consequences of the events that took place on Calvary and when he rose again. And it says in verse 26 of Daniel 9, the people of the prince who is to come will destroy the city. The people would be the Roman military under Titus, the Roman legions under the rule of Caesar Vespasian. And this is a fulfillment of the words of Jesus in Luke 19:43-44. Jesus foretold, the days will come upon you when your enemies will build an embankment around you, surround you, and close you in on every side, and level you and your children within you to the ground. And they will not leave in you one stone upon another, because you did not know the time of your visitation. Jesus could have been standing there and writing this down as a historian, because that's exactly what the Romans did. They built an embankment around the city of Jerusalem, and through consistent battering, they tore down those walls so that there was not of those walls one stone left upon another. And they wiped out all of those who were left in Jerusalem. That's why Jesus said, when you see these Roman legions surrounding the city or approaching, flee, go to the mountains, don't even look back. And it says in Daniel 9:27, and on the wing of the temple he will set up an abomination that causes desolation until the end that is decreed is poured out on him. The abomination of desolation again. And it's like a repeat of what Antiochus Epiphanes had done. That is, once again, as with the abomination perpetrated by Antiochus Epiphanes, heathen rites and emblems will be installed in God's temple by Titus, General Titus, under Caesar Vespasian. And so the destruction would continue, not only of the walls, but of the temple and of every relic in remembrance of Judaism in that time. Not one stone was left upon another from the pinnacle of the temple to the base, just as Jesus said in Matthew 24:2. Because what need there will there be for a temple now that the Messiah has taken away the sin of the world and has removed sacrifice and offerings altogether? There is no more need. Now, it's interesting. Some people, as they are looking at this passage, they're saying, if this is all happening in the 70th week, why does it say after 62 weeks, referring to 69 weeks, 62 plus 7? Why does it say after the 62 weeks and not in the 70th week that Messiah will be cut off? And here's where Scofield and we find a difference here. Scofield says that between the 69th and the 70th week is a great parenthesis. And that's why it doesn't say during the 70th week. It says at the end of the 69th week that the Messiah will be cut off. He says this great parenthesis is a church age. And the 70th week isn't about Jesus Christ at all. The 70th week is about the Antichrist, the prince that is to come. That's what they're saying. And it is he who, according to Scofield, who will make a covenant with the Jews, and then in the middle of the week of the middle of the tribulation, he will break that covenant with the Jews and persecute them. Now, I remember learning that too when I was a child. When you consider what this is actually saying, the scripture says absolutely nothing about a parenthesis, about a church age. The scripture connects the death of Jesus Christ to the fulfillment of the prophecies, the prophecy of Joel and the pouring out of the Holy Spirit, immediately consequent to the death of our Lord Jesus Christ. There's no parenthesis. The 69th week leads right into the 70th week. But why does it then say at the end of the 69 weeks? And the answer to this is because through the 69 weeks is God's story of the Jews. But with the coming of the 70th week, God has opened up and poured out his love upon the whole world, the Gentiles. God's purpose of the Jews has ended in the 69th day, after the 69th week. The 70th week is what Jesus has come to fulfill, making unnecessary sacrifice and offerings and the temple. And so in the end, as a consequence of the death of Jesus Christ and the rejection of Christ by the Jews, the temple is torn down and the wing of abominations of desolations commences. The reference then is the ceasing of God's work with the Jews as a distinctly covenant people, thus ending the particular work of God with Jerusalem and the temple. And this is the angel Gabriel's story to Daniel about God's people, Israel. So the coming of the Messiah broke down the dividing wall between Jew and Gentile by putting an end to sacrifices. As Galatians 3, 6 to 9 says, and Ephesians 2, 14 and 15 says, and it is this way that Christ will come and accomplish the six divine blessings that had been foretold. They were to finish the transgression, put an end to sin, atone for wickedness, bring in everlasting righteousness, seal up the vision, and anoint the most holy. Once that was accomplished, then the kingdom of God is extended throughout all the world. The Jews, as a distinct people, have completed their task and the purpose for their calling. Now we are all Jews through faith in Jesus Christ. We are all sons of Abraham. God so loved the world that whosoever believes in him, to the Jew first, but then also to the Greek or the Gentile. And so that is what has been accomplished in the 70 weeks. And the 70 weeks accomplishes all that God has purposed for Israel. What a story. What an account. What a picture God gives to us of the immensity of his sovereign plan and the carefulness with which he formulates it and works it through. Indeed, as Daniel prayed, O Lord, great and awesome God, who keeps his covenant and mercy with those who love him and keep his commandments. We have just heard in the course of 70 weeks of years how God kept his covenant and mercy for those who love him and keep his commandments. Let's pray together. Oh Lord, we praise you for your wisdom and your power. We thank you, O Lord, for your control over all matters of our salvation and of the relationships of the world to the Jews, the covenant extending from Israel then to all who believe. We praise you, O Father, for this, and ask that you give to us an ever-increasing understanding of indeed how devoted you were to pouring out your love and mercy, and how faithful you have been to the keeping of your covenant. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.